May it please the court, regardless of what test may be used, the laugh test, the smell test, the arbitrary and capricious test, Chevron review, Christensen review, on any standard of review, Mr. Fox should prevail, because what the State Department has done here is clearly beyond any of these tests. Let's just call it arbitrary and capricious. The statute says that Mr. Fox should be able to obtain a certificate of loss of naturalization if he is, among other things, one who has obtained naturalization in a foreign state upon his own application. That upon application requirement was added apparently in 1952 after cases like this circuit's 1949 decision and Lapidus versus Clark and many others like it, which were depriving people of citizenship merely because they had lived abroad too long. The application requirement was a protection against people being deprived of citizenship when they had taken no affirmative steps to seek expatriation. It was never intended as a barrier to their exercise of that right, which incidentally even the Lapidus case back then recognized as fundamental. In the light of Congress's clear intent, it would be arbitrary and capricious to make the application requirement so stringent that it rejected the fruits of a genuine application process. Mr. Fox filed an application. Even the State Department doesn't deny that the form was an application. The issue the State Department has raised is what he was filing an application for. But the factual record is unambiguous. He filed it seeking Israeli citizenship, not immigrant status. The Israeli government knew this. It accorded him Israeli citizenship, not immigrant status.
Yes, why does it matter to you between those two? That is, I thought your argument was that the definition of naturalization is broad. It includes conferring of nationality by any means whatsoever. So if the means by which he got nationality was an application for OLA, why isn't that good enough for you? Why should it matter? Why are you fighting that particular point?
Well, I'm not the one who, in essence, raised the issue. The State Department said, in
effect... No, but you're responding in a way that could put you out of court. I'm not sure why you're doing that.
All right. Well, I would agree that because one can do it by any means whatsoever, according to the definition of naturalization, that should embrace a large number of issues. I was responding to the State Department's issue as to the meaning of the application requirement. But I think as long as Mr. Fox demonstrated a desire to become an Israeli citizen and filed a piece of paper it conveyed that intent, I think the application requirement is met and we should look at the naturalization issue.
I'm sorry.
Are you objecting to any aspect of the information in the certificate attesting Israeli citizenship?
I'm sorry. Am I?
Page 138 of the joint appendix.
Okay. Let me take a look.
And if so, why? And to the extent that the State Department is objecting to that, I don't get it. But to the extent that you don't rely on it, I don't get that either.
Well, I'm looking at the certificate, and I'm asking specifically which aspect of it, the Judge Williams, you're inquiring concerning.
Well, any aspect is. it seems to represent a determination that he has secured Israeli citizenship under 24B of
Correct.
The Act. And the State Department has an argument I don't understand at all as to why that doesn't count. But in any event, sticking with this, is there anything problematic for you
yes.
about this?
I would be less than candid if I didn't say that it's annoying and bothersome that the Israeli citizenship certificate seems to imply that Mr. Fox ever had OLE status, but in fact, he did not. He went direct from non-immigrant status to citizenship.
Well, don't we, I mean, Don't you have two problems with that? One is the certificate itself, and the other is the application, which, as I recall, checks off, has a check on the box for
yes.
Olay, right?
But there is also a box.
Two serious problems with rejecting Olay. How do you pronounce it?
I believe it's Olay. They didn't teach me words like this at St. Thomas the Apostle, where I went to school. The fact of the matter is that this paragraph actually references a provision in the code that speaks of an Olay certificate,
right.
And I can assure the court that no such certificate was ever issued.
No such certificate?
That's correct. Mr. Fox was never issued an Olay certificate, which would have been the case had he been going to an Olay status. He went direct to citizenship.
This is a certificate attesting Israeli citizenship, and it cites 2B, I'm sorry, it wasn't 24B, it's 2B4
yes.
Of the Act, which does indeed seem to turn on Olay.
But it seems to turn, if you read the entire provision in context, it turns upon the issuance of an Olay certificate, which did not occur.
What's the evidence that it didn't occur?
The evidence is simply the statement of my client, which I guess has worked its way through the documentary record in this case. There's no evidence to suggest that a certificate was issued.
Well, there is evidence. There is an official statement of the Israeli government. So what is the evidence to the other side? That is there an affidavit of your client in which he says,
Yes, I believe there is.
Where is that?
I cannot locate it at this point, but I believe that...
That's something you should look for on rebuttal, then.
I will be glad to do so.
Why does it matter to your... Does the retroactive application, that is the date upon which the loss of citizenship occurs, matter to your client?
Does it matter?
Yes.
Well, it matters in that he believes it occurred at an earlier date than would occur if he went through the Section 5 process.
Does it have any legal consequences?
It does have consequences, as I understand it, in the tax field. I do not know the specifics.
So this would have a tax liability difference, depending on whether it came out the way the State Department comes out in his?
Judge, I've had it explained to me a number of times. I do not understand it. I can simply answer yes to the question, but I do not know exactly how it works.
Is there any other liability consequences?
Not that I'm aware of.
With respect to judgments in the United States, for example, or divorce or assets in the United States?
None that I am aware of.
What is the meaning of footnote 5 of your brief, opening brief? It's a little.
Can you give me
a lot of negatives there?
I'm sorry. Can you give me the page?
Page 12.
Thank you. I think what he is saying is that he might have been able to invoke the provisions of Section 1 even if he had been an Olay. He would, under certain circumstances, have been able to apply for Israeli citizenship. Basically, what would have happened is he would have not checked the box on that application that said that he wanted immediate citizenship. And if he had not checked that box, then he would have been in Israel only on immigrant status. And if subsequent to that, he had sought to become an Israeli citizen, he would have filled out an application.
Just to make sure in terms of what you're asking this court to do, if we thought that the State Department had given no adequate reason for rejecting his obtaining Israeli citizenship by application as reflected in the certificate that we discussed earlier, that your client isn't saying he would reject relief, say, ordering the State Department to reconsider in light of the apparent documents.
Judge, I'm sorry.
Too many negatives in that sense.
Yeah.
Suppose we believe that the record shows that, in fact, he has a perfectly good Israeli citizenship obtained by application, pursuant to 2B4 of the Israeli statute, and that that appears in every way to fit Section 1 of the American statute, and therefore the State Department's statements on this case make no sense. Mm-hmm. Does your client reject that outcome?
My client would not reject that outcome.
Not reject that outcome. Okay.
All right. Because time is short, I'm going to skip over the discussion concerning the oath requirement, unless the court has any questions for me it wishes to ask.
Yeah, I still have another question. So if we accept the proposition that he never applied for OLA, what is it that he did apply for?
He applied for citizenship.
But where's the evidence that he applied for citizenship?
I think the issuance of the certificate itself that we've just been looking at is the evidence that he applied for citizenship.
Well, I thought you don't want us to believe everything that's in the certificate.
That doesn't mean that it's not evidence that he applied for citizenship, however.
Well, maybe it's evidence that he was granted citizenship without applying.
In my view, when you file an application with the expectation that something will happen, and that's all that happens, then you are doing it upon application.
What application did he file? This one says application for permanent residence.
It is an application that is used for two purposes, only one of which is mentioned in the caption, but it is used to turn non-immigrants into citizens, direct, without going through the immigrant OLE phase. That is its use in practice. All right. I believe my pre-rebuttal time is up.
Ask you a question on your B2 argument. What is the evidence that he made a declaration of allegiance or took an oath?
Again, I believe this is in his declarations.
I'm looking
and Judge, you must understand that we never got past a motion to dismiss, so there was never affidavit evidence that was submitted to the court other than that which was part of the record below.
Well, but that's you have to make the argument to the administrative agency, not to the court. So let me ask again, what is the evidence that he actually took an oath?
I think you were asking about affidavit evidence before, but
any kind of evidence.
Well, there were submissions that said to the State Department what he had provided by way of oaths.
I don't see a statement by him. I see a statement by his lawyer, but
well,
not a statement by him.
Well, that was certainly part of the evidence that was in front of the State Department. There is an affidavit, and as to I will during my.
What I'd like you to do on the rebuttal is to point me to the best evidence that he actually took an oath.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Brad Bannis, and I represent the Appellee Defendant, Department of State. United States citizens commit expatriating acts by applying for and obtaining citizenship in a foreign state or taking meaningful oaths of allegiance to a foreign state. Under Israeli law, however, a United States citizen who immigrates to and settles in Israel through the law of return acquires Israeli citizenship automatically by operation of law. There's no need to apply for that citizenship, and there's no need to take an oath of allegiance to Israel. As such, the Department of State's decision that Dr. Fox did not commit an expatriating act is not arbitrary and capricious, and this court should affirm the district court below.
Well, there's clearly an application, right?
Yes, Your Honor, there is an application.
And so far as appears, I guess it's not altogether clear, but that seems to have been what prompted the Israeli government to issue the certificate. Or is it your thought that the Israeli government just popped up and issued the certificate?
Your Honor, the application on page 103 of the record is clear. Dr. Fox sought an OLE certificate. He checked off that box. That's what that application was seeking.
Okay, and that seems to match the certificate.
Your Honor, yes, but it's a two-step process. The application is seeking a benefit under the law of return. The law of return is a separate provision of law than Israeli citizenship law. The law of return doesn't...
I'm just looking at the nationality law.
Yes, Your Honor.
And it sets out a group of ways in which Israel nationality is acquired. Those include by return, Section 2, and then we have 2B4, and it's by a person who has received an Olay certificate under Section 3 with effect from the day of the issue of the certificate. So why isn't that apparently a description of how he got his Israeli citizenship?
Your Honor, that is an accurate description of how he got it. However, he did not apply for that second benefit, i.e. citizenship, under that provision.
But it comes, as you say, if you file an application for Olay, you will automatically get citizenship. Is that right?
Your Honor, you have to be approved for an Olay certificate. Now, that is a discretionary decision.
So he applied for the Olay application. So you also have to be approved for citizenship. So here he applied for Olay, and from that he obtained citizenship, right?
Your Honor, once you're granted the discretionary benefit of an Olay certificate, in other words, that can be denied, there is no denial of Israeli citizenship. It says, Section A, every Olay, that is a person carrying an Olay certificate, shall become an Israeli national. In fact, to avoid the consequences of this automatic operation of law, you have to affirmatively opt out. That's under Section 2C.
That's after you filed an application, then you opt out.
Excuse me, Your Honor?
That's after you filed an application, then you can opt out.
You have to...
But you filed an application.
You filed an application for a benefit.
I don't understand how you don't understand this. It's perplexing to me. He filed an application as the result of which was naturalization citizenship. What?
Your Honor, the statute says you have to acquire naturalization in a foreign state upon an application. It doesn't say you can acquire permanent residency or an immigration status and then acquire citizenship based on that immigration status and that be an expatriating act. It requires an application for that second step. And, Your Honor, this is a longstanding interpretation of this law.
Can you show us, other than a law review article, can you show us the longstanding interpretation?
Your Honor, the Department of State published about 100 decisions from the Appellate Review Board of the Consular Affairs Office in 1984.
You cited any of those to us?
No, Your Honor. They're not in the record presently. Again, that's a ramification procedural posture of this case. We moved to dismiss. We did not create an administrative record. These would have been part of that.
But your position is that there are 100 cases just like this one in which people who have applied for Olay were considered not to have applied for naturalization?
I can't tell you there's 100, Your Honor. I can say that the Department of State published around 100 cases, and throughout those 100 cases interspersed, this is a consistent position of the Department of State that U.S. citizens who move to Israel and immigrate there through the law of return do not commit an expatriating act under Section A1 or A2. And it's because it's a two-step.
And these cases discuss the question of those who file the sort of application that Mr. Fox filed and that received the sort of certificate that Mr. Fox received.
That's right, Your Honor. They applied for an Olay certificate, and then they were granted Israeli citizenship automatically by operation of law.
What's the explanation for not having provided this to the district court? You argued below exactly what you're arguing to us today, that this is the longstanding policy of the State Department, right?
That's right, Your Honor.
Now, for the first time, you're supporting that. Why didn't you made exactly the same argument below. Why didn't you support it below?
Your Honor, at the Rule 12 stage, we don't have the opportunity to provide.
That's false.
That is totally wrong.
This is a law question. You say you want deference to your view of the law. You're making the argument right now. Why do you think you're entitled to make the argument now, but weren't entitled to make it below?
Your Honor, if we were entitled to make it below,
if you don't know, say you don't know, but you certainly were required to make it if it was the foundation for your claim.
Your Honor, we don't think this is a foundation for our claim. We think this is extra evidence, but we think that the plain language of Section 1481A1 requires an application.
You've got three other smart people who are looking at the same words you're looking at, and it's self-evident the opposite way.
Your Honor, I would just point out that the application he applied for sought a benefit under one provision of law. That provision of law cannot grant citizenship to a foreign national. The only law in Israel that can grant citizenship is the citizenship law. That's under Section 1 of that law. Therefore, when you apply for a benefit under the law of return, you're not applying for citizenship. Now, because Israeli nationality...
natural consequence of having done that, citizenship, right?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
The natural consequence of having done that, unless you renounce it, is citizenship?
It's the automatic, by operation of law, consequence.
So then the application results in citizenship, and you know that unless you renounce it. So you've applied for something you know you're going to get unless you renounce, right?
Well, Your Honor, the Department of State would say...
I don't care what the Department of State says. Isn't that right? Am I understanding you?
Your Honor, simply because the application precedes a grant of citizenship does not mean that citizenship is based on that application.
But what's going to happen to him if he doesn't apply? Nothing. He's not going to be a citizen if he just stands there and doesn't apply, right?
Well, Your Honor, he'll be an immigrant in Israel. If he chooses to settle in Israel through the law of return, then unless he opts out, you're right, he will acquire Israeli nationality, and he can't avoid that. That's a consequence.
Well, is your position that it's not possible by one or two for an American Jew to become to lose their citizenship in the United States by becoming a citizen in Israel, intending to lose citizenship in the United States?
Are there other ways for a Jewish
American? Under one and two, under A1 and two.
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you saying that Jewish Americans cannot use either one or two?
No, Your Honor.
What are you saying?
I'm saying the way that Dr. Fox acquired his Israeli nationality does not meet the standard set.
How would a Jewish American obtain Israeli nationality under A1?
Your Honor, they could go through sections 5 through 9 of the Israeli citizenship law. That's where you have to be in Israel for a certain amount of time, you have to take an oath of allegiance, you have to demonstrate certain language skills. It's a more traditional.
Why should they have to do that if Israel provides another route?
Your Honor, the Jewish Americans are free to take whichever route's available to them. However, the consequence of that under Section 1481A1 is...
Policy question. Do you have any policy reason for this, or is this just your best view of the law? That is there any policy reason why the State Department would take the position you're taking?
Yes, Your Honor.
What is it?
Again, it's the... application requirement is further indicia that it's voluntary.
It may be further indicia, but there's no dispute here that it's voluntary, is there?
Your Honor, the Department of State never reached that portion of the expatriation analysis. We stopped at...
Imagine that was the case, that there was no dispute about voluntariness here. Then would you have a... What would be the policy reason for the position you're taking?
Your Honor, the policy reason touches on foreign relations between these two countries, as well as this longstanding provision. There's thousands, if not millions, of dual citizens residing in Israel right now who have relied on this interpretation
Those are people who have not voluntarily... I understand that point. Your point is you don't want dual citizens to lose their American citizenship if they don't want to. But I'm asking to add in the caveat of somebody who demonstrates by standing on their head and saying, I do not want to be an American citizen, that they really don't want to be. What's the policy reason under those circumstances?
Well, Your Honor, there is another avenue available to them.
That's not a policy reason. I'm just asking you if there is a policy reason for this.
Well, Your Honor, I think in 1952, when the Department of State started using this interpretation, the policy reason was to allow the uninhibited immigration of Jewish Americans to Israel without the loss of U.S. citizenship. At that point, the Department of State determined that because this is an automatic operation of law, that these immigrants...
Which is an automatic operation of law?
The citizenship for a U.S. citizen who immigrates through the law of return and is automatically granted Israeli citizenship. That would not be an expatriating act.
You say automatically, but under the Israeli statute, it's only effective from the day of issue of the certificate. Are you saying that the Israeli government goes around issuing certificates to people who, because of the impact on their U.S. citizenship, would not want to have the certificate issued?
Your Honor, the certificate in question was issued in 2010. It wasn't given to him the day he...
I don't care. I'm just trying to figure out how the State Department regards these certificates, which, so far as we can make out, don't just spring spontaneously from the Israeli bureaucracy.
Your Honor,
it seems to me the policy argument you're giving in response to Judge Garland turns on the notion that there are a lot of people out there who are going to have their intentions thwarted by the sort of interpretation that would enable Mr. Fox to lose his American citizenship.
Your Honor, the certificate recognizes that Dr. Fox is an Israeli national. It points to how he acquired that. He acquired that by being simply present in Israel after having been granted an OLE certificate.
And after having applied for an OLE certificate.
He did apply for an OLE certificate, Your Honor. And again, it's the Department of State's position. Those are two different things. Applying for an OLE certificate is different than applying for citizenship.
Can we go back to my question? Is there any reason to think that the Israeli government is issuing these OLE certificates spontaneously without application? Or, I guess another thing would be, is there any reason to believe that persons seeking dual citizenship are foolishly getting these certificates, are getting the certificates without any intent to lose American citizenship?
Your Honor, there is no evidence that the State of Israel is just sending these out willy-nilly.
Okay.
However, seeking proof that you are an Israeli citizen is different than applying for Israeli citizenship. This recognizes that after, when he was present in the country with an OLE certificate, at that point he was granted Israeli citizenship. Later proof of that is not, and seeking proof of that is not a separate application for citizenship. He's already got the citizenship, Your Honor. And so this certificate, though it demonstrates that, yes, he did obtain citizenship in Israel, is nothing more than that.
But he intended to obtain citizenship.
It's unclear, Your Honor. His intent to attain citizenship is...
See, I mean, what's perplexing about your argument, our statute says the term naturalization means the conferring of nationality of a state upon a person after birth by any means whatsoever. You don't like the means he chose, but it is clearly a means to achieving citizenship.
Your Honor, we don't dispute that Dr. Fox acquired Israeli citizenship, and we don't dispute that it's in accordance with 101A23. We do dispute that that acquisition of citizenship was based upon his application. That's the key language here.
He couldn't have gotten it without the application. We already went through that. He couldn't have just gone to Israel and stood there.
Your position is the words upon an application has to be upon an application for naturalization. Is that?
That's right, Your Honor. It's a causative interpretation of the word upon.
Except that's inconsistent with what the U.S. statute says, that naturalization can be achieved by any means whatsoever.
Well, Your Honor, again, I think that's a part of Section 1481, and we're not disputing that he naturalized under that language. We're disputing that he naturalized upon an application. We argue that he naturalized because of an operation of law.
He intended to use, so you're saying all you need, the additional piece of information you need is, I thought it was there, that he intended to achieve this result by the application he filed. That does it for you?
No, Your Honor, it doesn't.
Then your position makes no sense to me. I'm missing it. This is not a good day for me. If I give you information, this is what I know that I can get naturalization this way, as opposed to just standing there. And this is the way I choose to do it. And I'm affirming this for you, United States. I did it this way. I filed the application, the result of which would be to get naturalization. And our law says I can do it by any means whatsoever. And I am affirming that was my intention.
Your Honor, the collateral consequence of acquiring an OLE certificate was Israeli citizenship. There was no second application. This is a kind of a two-step. There's no separate application for citizenship under Section 2B4. It's done automatically.
We're going around in circles. It's not automatically unless you file an application.
Your Honor, I would also suggest that this entire discussion demonstrates that this statute, it may be ambiguous.
No, it's really not. It doesn't demonstrate that at all. It demonstrates, at least for me anyway, that I'm perplexed by your argument. Because it doesn't seem to be ambiguous.
Yes, Your Honor. I think Dr. Fox is arguing that because he filed an application and subsequently was granted Israeli citizenship, that he met the terms of the statute. It's more of a temporal interpretation. Ours is more causative, that the application has to be for naturalization, the naturalization has to come from a specific application. And if this court finds it's ambiguous, then this court should apply Chevron deference to the Department of State's interpretation. Under the five considerations laid out in Barnhart v. Walton, as well as this court in Milan Laboratories, this is an interstitial question. It triggers the Department of State's expertise on foreign affairs and international law. It's an important question whether an expatriate, whether this is...
We understand that. Could you explain to me the sentence at the bottom of the last paragraph on page 11 of your brief, the one starting, however? I'm just trying to relate it to the statute.
Yes, Your Honor.
Saying the granting of an alleged certificate alone, function of the law of return, does not constitute a grant of nationality because there shall be no Israeli nationality save under this law. That's from the Section 1, the last line of Section 1. But your argument here doesn't turn on the proposition that somehow or other 2B4 is outside of this law.
Is outside of?
Of the law that it's in. It's in something called nationality law, 5712-1952. And you've quoted the last line of Section 1. No Israeli nationality save under this law. And 2B4 seems to be under this law. And you appear to be saying it isn't. But I may have.
Section 2B4 of the law says if you have an OLE certificate, and if you've been granted an OLE certificate, and you're in Israel, then Israel will automatically grant you citizenship unless you opt out. So 2B4 requires that you have a particular immigration status. That immigration status is that of an ole in Israel, a Jewish individual who chooses to settle.
Can we just step back a moment? It says, actually, to be literal, Section 2, Israeli nationality by return is acquired, and its nationality is acquired, then jumping to 4, by a person who has received an OLE certificate with effect from the day of the issue of the certificate. And that looks to me as if it's saying that Israeli nationality by return is acquired by this person with effect from the date of the issuance of the certificate. That seems to make the issuance of the certificate necessary and sufficient. What, is that a misreading of 2B4?
No, it's not, Your Honor. However, it's acquired without any further action. It's acquired once you apply for and are eligible for and get that OLE certificate, then you're automatically granted citizenship. There's no second step. There's no application. And that's what 1481 requires. We can't read that out of the statute. And you'll see, under that same section.
But this sentence, the granting of an OLE certificate does not constitute a grant of nationality. It doesn't turn on the because part of that sentence at all. It turns on your argument that the citizenship was acquired by the return, even though it is only certified at a later date. Is that right?
That's right, Your Honor.
Okay. So, I mean, the way you worded that sentence is very deceptive, I think, to say the least.
I sure it was just inartful. I no intent to deceive the court.
I think I now have your position.
What is your position on if you were right here about whether he could come in through A4B, I got it all confused here, A5. You took the position, you're not taking a position. Is that right?
That Dr. Fox could go to an embassy and renounce his citizenship?
Yeah.
That's right, Your Honor.
But the letters say that he could. So are we to believe the lawyer or are we to believe the State Department who says that he can do it that way?
Your Honor, there's no evidence in the record to indicate that that's not available to him.
Then why did you take the position that you're not taking the position on this?
Because, Your Honor, Dr. Fox never tried to go to an embassy. He doesn't allege he's been to an embassy. It's simply not an issue.
It's not the question I'm asking. And now, since you were willing to offer your views about the past, I'm going to ask you to offer your view now. Is there any impediment to him going in under A5?
No, Your Honor.
No impediment at all?
No, Your Honor.
So this is all just about whether he has to go into the embassy?
That's right, Your Honor.
No further questions from my colleagues? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll hear rebuttal.
The problem with A5, as indicated, is that as the forms and the Foreign Affairs Manual make clear, in order to succeed under A5, Dr. Fox would need to state that he is currently a citizen. It's a clear implication of many of the different sentences that he has to sign off on between the Form 4080 and the 4081.
Where is that form?
It is appendices to the main brief. You can find the forms.
If he loses this case, that will be the case, right?
Well, he would be required, if he wishes to pursue a certificate of loss of nationality through Section 5, he would have to sign off on these. You can see them, Judge, at pages 54 and following in the principal brief of Mr. Fox. The problem is that this makes him it requires him to express a point of view that he does not hold.
But not if he loses his case.
Well, even if he loses his case,
the court will have held that he's still a citizen.
And
I suppose people
could
take any position about agreeing with the court that they want, but it's the law.
Well, since these are self-executing acts, I think he would probably maintain that this means that he is free to differ and to hold a different point of view. It shouldn't hinge on his point of view. This is a fundamental right we're talking about. The court asked me to locate proof in the record as to the oath. Page 42, representations by earlier counsel, which were considered it would appear acted upon by the State Department.
Where is it? Where
page 42.
Where on the page?
The bottom under facts, the last bullet point.
This said, did he take the required oath to become an Israeli citizen?
That's correct.
So there's no representation from him, only from his lawyers?
Judge, I cannot find a representation by him. However, agencies do act on the basis of unsworn testimony. They do act on the basis of...
Your brief sounds like he's saying he took it in private. Is that right?
Your Honor, that was my belief until last Friday. I've been told...
What did you learn last Friday?
I learned last Friday, Judge, and I apologize to all concerned, but I just learned this, that in fact what happened was that the Israeli functionary who sort of in-processed him administered an oath at the time. I did not know this before.
When you say in, at what time?
And again, I'm not familiar with the details, but apparently there are forms that you fill out and whatnot at the point when you get your Israeli certificate of citizenship.
And when is that? What date was that?
That was January 30th, 2002.
Where is the only thing I was just wondering about that. The thing we have, which is the certificate.
Yes.
That, of course, has a 2010 date. Where's the 2002 date? I see. As from 30 January 2002.
Yeah.
I see.
In addition, of course, Mr. Fox is also maintaining that submitted an oath at the time that he applied for a certificate of loss of nationality in 2009.
The Israeli citizenship provision that I take it you're relying on as to what happened to him is 2B4, is that right? Or what is the, how in your view did he become an Israeli citizen?
He became an Israeli citizen by operation of the law of return operating in pari materia with the nationality law.
Which part of the nationality law? Is it 2B2?
I'm sorry, Judge, you're going to have to give me a minute. Do you have a page?
Yes.
104.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, no, I can't say that it was that provision, Your Honor, because did not come to Israel as an ally. He entered Israel as a non-immigrant.
So as a what?
As a non-immigrant.
So by what operation of nationality law did he become an Israeli citizen?
Well, according to the certificate, it is B-4, I believe.
Right, but you don't like that one.
Your Honor, to my way of thinking, the administration of the Israeli law is confused, it is contradictory, it doesn't make a great deal of sense. But the certificate references that provision, not everything that that provision seems to contemplate, in fact, occurred. That doesn't mean that that's not how Mr. Fox obtained his citizenship there.
But you, just to be sure, you accept the proposition that it's the State Department should not adopt interpretations of Israeli law under which people seeking joint or
dual citizenship,
not dual U.S. and Israeli citizenship, suddenly find themselves unexpectedly deprived of U.S. citizenship.
Is it my position that that is the purpose of?
No,
I'm sorry.
Just asking you if you recognize it as a reasonable purpose, whether it is their purpose.
To prevent people from being unsuspectingly deprived of their citizenship.
Right, their U.S. citizenship.
Yes. I think that makes policy sense, but that is not what we're confronted with
that
here.
That may be the case.
My time is up. Thank you very much.
Can I ask the State Department one last question here? And these large number of cases, you say, from the past, you have these collected somewhere, do you?
Your Honor, they are published in a source over at the Department of State.
Yes, but you have them collected. That is, you could submit them to the court if the court asked for them?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do any of them involve a case where a person wants to have renounced his citizenship, as in this case, and the opinion is one that says he hasn't, or are they all ones where the person wants dual citizenship and someone's trying to stop him from getting dual?
The few I have seen are of the latter, Your Honor.
So there's none. Are you saying that there are none that are like the case before the court?
I can't represent that there's none. No, Your Honor.
You can't represent that
there are. You can't represent either, I take it.
That's right, Your Honor.
Well, that's the reason why you didn't attach it to your motion to dismiss. You have no authority.
Your Honor, we have authority. We the longstanding.
You said you couldn't represent that you do. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that the department, I'm being totally serious, doesn't make any sense that the department would have such authority and not offer it. Now I'm understanding, as far as you're concerned, there is no such authority that you can cite to.
Your Honor, in the motion to dismiss phase of this case.
I'm just asking you, is there any such authority you can point to?
I can't say yes or no.
If we were to direct you to file these by the end of the week, you'd be able to do that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
On point.
The best of my ability.
Of cases that are off point, on point.
I can sift through them, Your Honor.
This case.
I can do my best, Your Honor.
Now, are there cases where anyone is found in the United States that you automatically are found to have renounced your U.S. citizenship without requesting it? In other words, you're saying the policy argument is, my God, there'd be just hundreds and thousands of people who would suddenly be inadvertently renouncing their U.S. citizenship, captured by law, even though they never made the request to do so. Is there authority saying that if you haven't made a request to the State Department, we will simply renounce your citizenship for you?
Your Honor, you don't have to go to the State Department to commit an expatriating act. If you commit an expatriating act, then you go to the next step, and that's whether that was voluntary and whether you had the intent to relinquish U.S. citizenship.
I'm asking you, are there any cases where, like this, it's kind of an I gotcha? Aha.
Your Honor, there.
Found out, I know you didn't intend to do this, but we're taking your U.S. citizenship away. Are there such cases?
In the 1950s, Your Honor, there's several of those cases.
That was before there was an intent requirement, wasn't it?
Right.
On the face of the statute, yes, Your Honor.
Well, do you have any cases, in this mass of cases you have, are there any, say, after the Ephraim case was decided in 1967?
Yes, Your Honor. The one I can think of off the top of my head is from 1971. Involves.
Please. If we decide, we'll ask you to provide it. There's no point in doing it from your memory. It's okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Case will be taken under submission. Yes, you may.
Simply this. If additional cases are submitted, I would like the opportunity to comment.
Of course.
Thank you. Just a week after submission, but...
Well, so far we haven't done anything. If we do, there'll be a scheduling order that provides, of course, an opportunity for response.
Thank you.